Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and warner and guide, and I greet you all in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
Thank you, James, and welcome everybody back to Study Group. Put on the new man. It's so good to see so many of you who beat me here this evening. All praises be to Allah. And so tonight, I think we're going to cover a few topics that Brother James is going to expound on out of the final call this week. Of course, we're talking about tonight a new world, a reform world starts with a reform woman. But we're also going to be talking about some of the atrocious crimes against women that was actually printed up in various articles in the final call. So who else better to present us tonight with a wealth of information, a magnificent student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a mighty soldier in our nation with over 40 years of service, and he's still out there pushing the final call like a 25-year-old man. So all praises due to Allah for Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and to the listening audience and those of you who are online in the chat room, once again, we're very happy to greet you in the name of Allah as we open in his name, Master Farad Muhammad, the one whom Allah has made his presence in and through and is with us today. So we say in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world. We thank Almighty God Allah once again for making his presence known to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then he making his presence known to us all in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. We thank him for raising up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, messenger, Messiah, and now exalted Christ, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. And we thank the most honorable Elijah Muhammad for not leaving us comfortless upon his departure. But he trained one, taught one, and prepared one. The scripture refers to him as the Spirit of Truth, who would guide us into all truth. There were many things, as it is put in the mouth of Jesus in the scriptures, that he could have told us. He could tell us, he could have told us, because he knew him. But he said, ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will guide you into all truth, and that Spirit of Truth, I testify, is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I like to refer to him as my personal redeemer, because of, without equivocation or exaggeration or qualification, that is exactly who and what he is and was to me. So I'm very happy to greet you, brothers and sisters, those of you who are online, on the phone, and of course, once again, in the chat room. We want to continue the subject matter that we've been dealing with for the last few weeks, and of course, it's referencing our children, particularly our girls, but also our boys. And it talks about, and we're talking about, kidnapping as well as sex trafficking. And I'm so thankful to Allah that we're on the same page with the final call, our beloved sister, Sister Charlene Muhammad, the national correspondent, wrote a beautiful article, beautiful in the sense that it was highly informative. But the subject matter was not beautiful at all. And we'll be drawing from that subject matter, as well as the subject matter from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's article entitled, A reformed world starts with a reformed woman. So we'll be drawing from both those articles, hopefully to inspire participation. I know you are traditionally silent, or at least in the last few shows, you all on the phone have been, I should say, uncharacteristically silent, wanting to speak out. But we want to hear from you. We want to hear your comments, and we also want to hear your questions. We never arrogate to ourselves that we are the question answerer. No, there's only one question answerer, at least to me, and I bear witness that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We really don't have anything to say except what he said. We are an echo, if you will. Huh? A polyparrot, if you will. And some of you may not necessarily like that reference, but I don't mind being a polyparrot for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I don't mind being an echo for the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for it is these words that he speaks that inspires life in an otherwise dead people, raising us up from a horizontal position to a living perpendicular. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so let us begin. I hope that those of you who are listening have read the article, have your final calls. Perhaps you have them in front of you or have easy and quick access to them. Because I want to read from this article, again, by our dear sister and national correspondent, Sister Charlene Muhammad, titled Beaten, Branded, and Abused. And then hashtag Save Our Girls USA. It begins from an editor's note. This is part one of a three-part series on sexual slavery and Black America. It follows a special edition last year that explored the subject sex trafficking plagues young Black girls, and a growing legion of advocates is working to help rescue children who've been pimped out and to prevent others from being snatched off buses and streets. They are trying to raise awareness about this tragedy disproportionately affecting Black girls. This report gives an overview of the problem and accounts from advocates and law enforcement. Los Angeles, thefinalcall.com. Pimping or sex trafficking is a multi-billion dollar industry. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, our beloved student, Western Regional Minister and Representative, Brother Student Minister Tony Muhammad, he mentioned that he had attended a forum on this subject matter, and he highlighted the fact that they said it was a $64 billion business, wherein more adequately and appropriately, he said, it should have been a $64 billion worldwide problem. She continues to write, and approximately $10 billion inside America. But at this moment, somewhere in your community, perhaps near your home, a predator is likely working to make $150,000 to $300,000 a year by selling the bodies of Black teenage girls. And I want to request, dear Queen Aziza, that the information in terms of websites that we can go to that will let us know who are listed sexual predators in our community, if you can make that announcement And any other announcements or information that we can go to online or any agencies that are dealing with this particular problem so that we can inform ourselves of the magnitude of this problem. You know, this is not talked about on a daily basis. It's interesting to me. I want to thank you, Sister Queen. It's interesting to me, as I shared with Queen Aziza in her earlier conversation before the show, that in Florida, Governor Crist last week announced that he would be signing into law an intolerance or zero tolerance policy where trafficking is concerned. Now, I haven't heard him talk about that since he's been in office. I don't think I have. I wonder if he's listening to the show. Just a little side comment. Let's continue to read. The average pimp has to 6 girls. According to statistics from the U.S. Justice Department and National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. While many 13 to 14-year-old girls are being groomed for academic decathlon, recruited for middle and high school sports or drama clubs, others that age are being groomed for sex work. Girls are raped, beaten, branded, indoctrinated, and sold day in and day out in a lucrative trade or lucrative sex trade. Survivors and advocates want the horror clearly identified as sex trafficking and not prostitution, especially when it comes to minors. Child prostitution and johns are two words that should not exist when addressing child sex trafficking because a child cannot commit to commercial sex according to state and federal law, said Lieutenant Andre Dawson, officer in charge of the Los Angeles Police Department's Human Trafficking Division, which is responsible for getting pimped off the street. You know, one of the rules, regulations, dealing with the FOI that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad enforced vigorously and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is just as vigorous. Every FOI comes under the scrutiny of the lieutenant or captain. And every FOI must demonstrate a legal means of income, either from their own business efforts or from a regular job. But you just can't sit around day in and day out and not demonstrate that you have a legal means of income. We don't produce pimps in the Nation of Islam. We don't tolerate pimps in the Nation of Islam. So this comes under close scrutiny. Because a man must be a man, and in order to be a man must take on the responsibility of maintaining his wife and family. Even single brothers. Either they are students in school, which is verifiable, or they have to have some gainful means of employment. And this must be demonstrated and recorded. This is a policy that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan enforces, and the FOI officers under his charge, to eliminate even the inclination for a man to live off of a woman. Let's continue. Lieutenant Dawson said society needs a major shift children involved aren't criminals. They are victims. The buyers aren't Johns or sex purchasers. They're rapists, he said. Law enforcement advocates like Mary Howard, an officer and president of the New Alpha Delta Multicultural Sorority, a nonprofit organization. When I also may add that our beloved minister, Tony Muhammad, addressed them sometime in the recent past on this subject matter. They are in agreement with Lieutenant Dawson. The sorority comprised of women from various professional and organizational and faith backgrounds has joined a growing movement of those outraged and ready to fight. Okay, I want to stop there in this particular article and go to the minister's article entitled "A Reformed World Begins or Starts with a Reformed Woman." This is in the same issue of The Final Call. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes, "The woman, if true to her feminine nature, is really an advance over the men." Now, pimps play on the insecurity in the mind of young girls, play on the fact that many young girls grow up without a positive father image, or as the father is the template for a man for the daughter. Some fathers, in their aberrated, perverted mental state, sexually abuse their daughters, or uncles sexually abuse their nieces, or cousins, male cousins, sexually abuse their female cousins. And therefore, an inferiority, needful complex, and disposition of mind is developed. This is what pimps play on from the psychological vantage point. But look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is saying in his words. The woman is true to her feminine nature. There's the qualification. If she's true to her feminine nature, is really an advance over the man, not because of her beauty, her accomplishments, or even the nature of her love when correctly awakened, but because she possesses the womb, the laboratory or laboratory wherein are fashioned those who will inhabit the world. The womb is where she cooperates with or is an assistant to Allah in the formation, the reformation, and the final completion of the human being. So, there is no reformation without the reform of a woman. But how do you reform something that has been rejected from birth? I want to stop here and relate an experience I had recently as we were in the highways and byways pushing the number one program. A brother had, he rolled his window down when I offered him the paper. And he said, with the woman sitting next to him, laughing, he said, "I don't want the paper, but can you take her off my hands for $5? Now, I know that you all who are listening, you really don't know your brother. And I understand, and perhaps you may think because of the way I speak or, you know, I seem to exude a mild-mannered kind of an intellectual posture. Well, thanks be to Allah and the reformative, transformative, and resurrecting work of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But, you know, lurking underneath all of that intellectual display is a Negro. I got to be honest with you. And a crazy one at that. That is only held in check. All right, sister. Now, when a man, look, Queen, when a man is self-effacing, we don't need, he doesn't need to be beat up by somebody on the outside if he's confessing himself. But I have to tell you, I was literally in shock. Not so much shocked at the stupidity and ignorance of my brother, but I was shocked by the level of rage that I felt, that I just wanted to reach in that window and snatch my brother by his throat. But what Allah blessed me to do is to ask him, brother, and really, perhaps I shouldn't have said it because I was looking for an excuse for him to jump. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I said, brother, if that was your mother sitting next to you, brother, would you make that same offer to me? Now, my motive was like a double entendre. On one side, I wanted to teach him. On the other side, I wanted to provoke him into anger so I'd have an excuse to address my rage. I thank Allah, and you know, that he took the former path. But I was literally so hurt. I really was. And I said, do you have any sisters, brother? He said, yeah. I said, do you have any daughters? He said, no. I said, well, would you make that offer with your mother or your aunt or your sister? I said, don't you ever, ever disrespect a woman like that again. And the poor sister, she thought it was a joke, but as I began talking, she realized the seriousness of the offense, and she realized the gravity of it, and so did he. And so things got a little calm. I talked to him for the duration of the light, and he drove off. Now, I was upset for that, for the obvious reason, but I was also upset that the FOI, well, I'll just use me. Now, I've been an FOI for quite a while, and I'm from a class of FOI, and that people, if they dreamed they would offend a woman in front of an FOI, they'd wake up trying to find an FOI to apologize to. But what it illuminated to me, here's a brother, either he's just so unaware of the Nation of Islam, which again, I was mortified because of that, because I began to feel that we just weren't doing our job. Or he just didn't have any fear at all. He didn't realize the degree to which he was not only disrespecting the woman or, you know, himself, but how the degree to which he was disrespecting an FOI, the fruit of Islam. So I learned a lot from that. I took a lot away, and all that really does is just reinforce my zeal to be a messenger of the messenger of Allah. We've got to get that paper to the people. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that paper is his best minister, because it is the unadulterated, uninterpreted unqualified word from him, the messenger of Allah and his Christ. Well, let me go on, because I want to engage the audience in this serious subject matter. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues. Focus your attention on the rise of women all over the world to speak up and to speak out against justice. It seems that this is the day when the oppressed of the earth will speak out against their oppressors. And women, those of you who are listening, and I'm sure there are many women on the phone and online, speak out. Speak up. First, speak out and speak up in your personal behavior, how you conduct and comport yourself in public and in private. Speak out that way and speak up that way. But then also speak out verbally. Stand for justice where injustice exists, particularly among your sisters and among women in general. I love to see the MGT a part of a movement, cause, or organization, not just in the Nation of Islam with the MGT, but joining other women organizations, bringing the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as they're given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, so we can take those teachings and bring the influence of those teachings to these women groups. A lot of women don't know what we represent where the Nation of Islam is concerned. And they still have this antiquated, obscure kind of misunderstanding of how we treat our women in the Nation of Islam. Are they in a subservient or inferior posture? A lot still think like that. It's so beautiful to see a sister in public in her garment. It's just wonderful. And those of you, dear sisters, who dress that way in public, I'm sure there's been occasion when lost found sisters have come up to you and wanted to talk with you, or you may have found some sheepishly looking at you, and when you noticed they were looking, they may have turned away because they didn't want to offend. I know these things have occurred with you. You are a teaching. Then the way you look, the way you carry yourself, and when you speak, the moderation of your tone, the dignity of your enunciation of words, it's just, I don't mean you have to be so intellectual or anything of that nature, but I mean it's just beautiful. I love the MGT. And yes, I got one for going on 33 years now by Allah's grace and mercy. And I want to hasten to say that much of whatever people that know me may admire, I could not have aspired to that without the help of my wife. I want to hurry up and say that. Sister Joanne Muhammad, she is a jewel. She's precious. I don't want to get off into talking about my wife. If she knew that I was doing that on the radio, she'd have a fit. She's a very private. So be it. I don't want to get too mushy. If we are oppressed in America, the minister writes, it is nothing but right and justice that we speak out against our oppression. But as we speak out against our oppressor, and our brothers and sisters in Africa and the Caribbean and throughout the world speak out against their oppressors. And as persons of different and varying races, colors, speak up against oppression, we notice that women all over the world are speaking out against not perceived oppression, but a very real and tangible oppression. Now, it's 9:40, I think, or approaching 9:40. And I could very easily get off into running my mouth for another 20 minutes or so. But I want to close here because I really, really, I'm very anxious to get your participation, to engage and to encourage the participation of the listening audience. So at this time, Sister Aziza, I'm going to be quiet. And of course, dear sister, if you want to say something, well, I don't have to tell you, you can if you want to. You know you can. But this is a subject matter that certainly applies to you. So I'm going to be quiet now. And if you want to say something in addition to what has been said, and then we can engage the audience, please feel free. Go right ahead.
No, we have a few questions in the chat room that I probably will speak on, Brother James, but I want to remind the listening audience to please press one on your dial pad. There's so many of you out there tonight, so we want to hear from you tonight on this subject matter, Brother James. And I tell you that I will say this. I think we as women have to really start to look at ourselves to change a condition or a rut that we have seen to fallen into. It's so much abuse of women and young girls going on, and I think that we as women, we really have to have our voices heard in this matter, in this situation. And we have to come together and help uplift one another from this crisis, because 50% of this is preventable. And I'm going to leave that right there. And we're going to start with a question from Brother Vaughn in the chat room. He says, I know parents can't be everywhere, but what has changed in the past 15 years that has made our children so vulnerable?
So vulnerable was the term?
Yes, vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Queen? I'd like you to answer that. Because of the work that you are, no, seriously, because of the work that you are so committedly engaged in, your juvenile justice advocacy, you know, how committed you are to that and how knowledgeable you are of that. I think you'd have a wonderful, in fact, I know you'd have a wonderful insight into the question that our brother asked. So go right ahead if you don't mind. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'd like to hear.
Yes, you do.
Come on, we're on the radio. I'm trying to be professional. I'm trying to. Come on now. go ahead,
yes,
sis.
I think the big picture of it all is that we have gotten away from God. And if you look at generations past, my generation, which I'm a 60s child, so if you look at the 50s, the 40s, and the 30s, you know, all of those children, all of our grandparents and great-grandparents had some kind of affiliation with one or another faith persuasion. But now we have become partakers into entertainment. have become partakers in convenience. You know, I remember in the 60s, very seldom were there television preachers on. I think it was Reverend Grayson, Reverend Ike, something like that. But now we can access church and access social consciousness through television, and then our minds are warped, so to speak, by the domination of evil, so to speak, in television. I think that we have allowed electronics to raise our children. It's more convenient, but it exposes them to a world that they are not psychologically or physically prepared for. And as technology gets better, we get farther and farther away from our children. So many parents are not in sync with the technology that their children are in sync with, and so that creates a division. I remember my student minister, Robin Muhammad, Southwest Regional Representative, said he looked up one day and it's him, his wife, and two boys that were remaining at home, and each of them were at the table doing something on their phones at a time where maybe the electronics should have been put aside and conversation should have taken its place. We have gotten away from the family setting. Whether it's grandmother and children or mother and children, we have gotten away from that setting, along with the extraction of a faith-based activity that is consistent. This makes the foundation for all of this that's going on with our children and going on with our women to take place. That's what I've seen that has changed in the last 15 years. There's a lack of a family foundation. There's too much media, technology, technological exposure that has driven a wedge between parent and child. And so our children are so much smarter now. And they are easily manipulated by electronics, because even though you buy them all these gadgets, iPod, iPad, iPhone, these are not the safest things for your children, because they actually give predators access to the whereabouts of your children. And though we're trying to accommodate and appease them, we are actually making them more vulnerable to predators. And so not only that, you know, I just think that we as parents, though, have become so attached to entertainment. I know parents who sit at home, and I hear grown people say, you know, I can't wait to go and see the Housewives of Atlanta. I'm like, really? You 50? Really? You know, but you might have a teenage daughter who's either also watching it, or while you're engaged, she's on the internet, or while you're engaged, she has snuck out the window, or while you're engaged, she's on the phone with her 25-year-old boyfriend who's manipulating her to do all kinds of things. So I think we've gotten away from that basic parenting, that personable contact that we have with our children. That's my answer for Brother Vaughn, Brother James. Anything you want to add?
Well, first let me say, you know, that's a wonderful, insightful answer, dear sister, which I knew it would be. I really wanted to hear, quite sincerely, I wanted to hear what you would say regarding his concern, his expressed concern. I'll only add that we as men, you know, last week, I think a brother said that he was sharing with us that he was from a good home. He had the balance of good parents, both father and mother, and yet he still chose to go astray. You know, I too had good parents. I have, and my mother, by the grace of Allah, is still alive, and my father, though, passed away when he was with us, wonderful provider, always working, always there for me, maybe not from the emotional standpoint. He wasn't that much of an emotional expressor, but he certainly took care of duty. Yet I chose to go astray. But the question is, you know, did I really choose it? Or were there elements in the environment that contributed very heavily to my choice? Now, we as men not only have the responsibility, and women too, but I'm focusing on the men. We not only have the responsibility to properly raise our children in the family and home environment. That's, of course, the foundation of our responsibility. That's our base of our responsibility. But we also must understand, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us on so many occasions, that there's a world after our children get out from under our auspices and our parenting to experience the world on their own. There's a world out there that also serves as a parent, if you will, as a steward, as a custodian of our children. And so this parentage, this custodianship, this stewardship is our responsibility to ensure that it will reflect the good custodianship, the stewardship, the parenting that we gave our child at home, which means we have to take responsibility to build our community. And if we are from good homes, if we're good parents, and we gave a sound base in the home for our children, then we also must understand we have to extend that into the society so it will be a guarantor of a continuation or an extension of the good home life that we gave or reared our children in. Now, how do we do that? We've got to come together as a people. We've got to stop being beggars for jobs and waiting at the rich man's table for the crumbs to fall from it. We've got to get behind the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's reintroduction of the economic blueprint. We've got to take everything seriously. Now, we're Christian, we're Muslim, some of us are Hebrew, some of us don't profess any particular faith at all or religion at all, but it doesn't matter. That is consequential to the reality that we have to unite our nickels, dimes, and dollars for the common good of our children. Well, what good is it if we raise a virtuous daughter? I mean, it is good. But then we put her out into the college environment. Now, I went to college for a little while. I didn't graduate. But I went to college for a few years. I can tell you, they're like brothel houses. They really are. It's a big party, unsupervised, I'm telling you the truth, an unsupervised party where our young girls and our young boys could just get off the chain, crazy. That's real. And we subject them to that because we don't have any colleges of our own. Yes, we have HBCUs. I think that's the proper acronym, Historically Black Colleges and Universities. Yes, we have them. They're historically black, but are they in present time currently black? And by black, I don't mean color. I mean black in the sense that the subject matter taught in the colleges caters to the need that black people have as a result, particularly as a result of coming up out of the transatlantic slave experience. I have to say no. They could, but by virtue of the product that is being produced, I have to say no. By and large, no. Because they're funded by our enemy. Straight up, funded by our enemy. And anyone who controls the educational process is the one who's in control of the world, not just presently, but in the future. They're producing future leaders or future slaves or future puppets, future workers. So we've got to have colleges. We've got to have high schools. Huh? We've got to have middle schools. We've got to have preschool. All of that we have to have of our own. We won't exclude white folk from being there, but the teachers must be ostensibly black. And the white ones that who happen to be there to teach must submit to, what is the word that I'm looking for? Starts with an F. Where the, you know, the program that they teach in school, what is that called? Oh, well. Anyway, in the subject matter. They have to be willing to submit to black leadership. That's our responsibility, Brother Vaughn. So it's not just in the home. We got to get behind one who is advocating that kind of responsibility. And there are some, but most prominently, undeniably, is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Doesn't mean you have to be a Muslim. You're already that. I won't get into that, but you were born that. So we're not tripping on that. But we need to get behind the man whom God has raised with the program. That's what I'll add. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. And thank you, brother, for your question.
All right. I want to hear somebody from on the phone, Brother Gene. Don't make me call you out. Okay. We got a question from Chris. It says, has this become a retrend of the oldest profession due to poor economy and employment? So I guess she's referring to prostitution.
Yeah, that's how they refer to it. I've heard it referred to that, the oldest profession. I don't know if it is the oldest, but that's how I've heard it referred to. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, brother. They are heavy contributors. But the biggest contributor, I believe, in my opinion, is abuse. Abuse. And ignorance, first of all, of who and what the woman is, but abuse. Think over a young girl that is abused. You know, sexually abused or raped or taken advantage of in high school. Repeatedly. Well, the first thing she, of course, there's pain, there's no question about it, but she also sees how badly men want that and how she can rule and manipulate men with that. So in her mind, hell, you know, if I can do that with this, then I might as well get paid for it. So it is a contributor. The world has gone sex crazy. That's men and women. And I have to say this, that those who are on top of the pornographic world are Jews. And as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated, he said that the Jews are so hateful of Jesus that they wanted to destroy morality, the principle that Jesus brought in the world. They want to destroy him and that. They hate him because he exposed them as devils. So those who are in great power in the world, not all Jews, but they're there, who are in great power. They're on top of the music industry. They're the ones with the multi-million dollar contracts, huh? That they want to offer young brothers who rap filth and sisters. Can't get a contract or get signed to a record deal if you've got something positive to say. But no, you got to make it filthy and denigrating of our women and men. Excuse me. Beautiful females with wonderful, wonderful gifts of voice. Why? First of all, why you have to sing naked? It's your voice. That's your gift. So why do you have to disrobe? And invariably, when you see them climb the charts, the higher they climb, the shorter their dress, and so the dress is gone. They have on underwear, and they're gyrating and moving on the screen with all this breathy singing and talk and seductive. Well, what the hell is that for? That's not your gift. And why are they paying you so much? Well, I love my sisters who entertain, who sing so beautifully. But I must say, after the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and in testimony to the truth of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been saying and is saying, you're being used and abused for money. They want to display you as a sex toy. So, yes, you're right, brother. You're right. It is a contributing factor, unemployment, all of that. But it's ignorance. Remember, Hosea said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Thank you for your question, dear brother.
Yes, sir. And Chris happens to be a sister, Brother James.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sister Chris. I'm so sorry.
Be a sister. But and she told me to tell you that, too. So I did, Sister Chris.
I'm sorry, sis.
I just want to add, Brother James, that, you know, I want to kind of get to the nitty-gritty of what's really going on with women. And it might be a part that, because I haven't read all of the articles, they kind of all seem to fall in sync with one another, all the way down to cultivating the woman. But I just want to remind my sisters that we as women have so much power that we don't even realize it. And I'm not talking about a power of brawn or a power of domination and control. I'm talking about a sacred, beautiful, spiritual power that comes with our nature that is from God himself. And we have become so disconnected from that. And
yeah.
What I mean by that is that when we start using our bodies for to gain anything, whether it's, I'm going to put it like this, I've seen situations where there was a woman who wanted a man that so-called belonged to another woman. So she uses her body. I've seen women where there's a man that, you know, he might have a nice car. He might have nice jewelry. He might dress very nice, so she thinks he has money. So she uses her body to get his attention and to kind of pull him into her web. And she's not concerned whether or not the relationship is fulfilling or whether it's even safe. She's after that material gain. I'm not going to put all this on our brothers. And the reason why is because there's an old saying that a man will do what you let him do. And what we don't understand that it's not a physical battle, but it's about what you tolerate. And you have to look within yourself to see why you tolerate such things, why you tolerate mm-hmm. abuse. Why did you ignore the red flag? Like, it might not have been that he hit you the first time, but he might have cussed you out. He might have threatened you, and you stayed. And it speaks to something that is going on with us that has been going on with us for hundreds of years now. You know, little girls are not safe. She's not safe in a family of men. She's not safe in a society where women are dominated. And so you have some girls who have been sexually abused from the crib.
Come on.
Behavior has perpetuated into generational cycles from one generation to another. And what it has done, it has made the woman insensitive to not a man, but to herself. We have to recognize this. We have to recognize the illness of sexual abuse. We can all relate to the trauma.
Come on, sis.
But the psychological effects of sexual abuse that allows us to go into one abusive relationship after another, that allows us to continue to devalue ourselves, that allows us to think and believe that our only validation is in a man.
Come on, sis.
That is the sickness. And that is the sickness that is going to cure the ills of all of this that is going on. When you start making it difficult for men to walk up on you, to be in your presence, to have time with you, to have that space to manipulate your mind, then you will see the standard change.
Come on.
Because we as women, we have the one thing that he can't go nowhere else and get. So now, who really has the upper hand? You have the upper hand. As a woman, if you raise your standard, he has no choice but to raise his. But if you're making yourself available to him at the drop of a hat with no level of commitment, with no sign of care and concern, then you are creating a situation that forms the man's mind to think of you as a sex object. Because this is what you are projecting forth. Instead of the power and the beautiful intellectual part of your mind instead of you projecting that forward, you use your body. And once you use your body, that is all he sees. Then after that first night, you expect him to respect you in the morning. No, he's reached his goal. His goal was to have you in a vulnerable position that will leave you emotionally attached but unfulfilled. And we as women have become so used to that, that it's almost acceptable to us. It's almost expected. Because we'll be the same woman that says, all men are dogs, but we will let every man or any man in that gives us their attention. So if all men are dogs and we sleeping with dogs, then what does that make us? So we have to see the value in ourselves. We have to empower ourselves with the knowledge of self. We have to say that, hey, I'm going to raise my standards. I'm not going to date a man. I'm not going to go into courtship with a man and allow him to have a sexual encounter with me or allow him to spend so much time within my space and in my circle that I become vulnerable, I become gullible, and I get sucked in. No, he's going to qualify himself to be with me. And once that I feel that he's qualified, then I'm going to take it to the next level and see if he really wants to have me in my entirety versus just in my physicality.
Mm-hmm.
So we as women have to do that. It's not on the men. Men abuse us because we put ourselves oftentimes, not every time, oftentimes in the position to be abused. How many times, Brother James and Brother Vaughn, how many times have a woman been involved in a domestic violence situation, and she's taking them back, and she's taking them back, and she's taking them back? Every time you take him back, you give him permission to beat your ass again. Because what you're telling him is that I don't care how bad you treat me. I don't care how bad you cuss me out. I don't care how bad you beat me. I love you, and I'm going to let you come back, and I'm here for the taking. That is the message that we as women often send. And why? Why do we do that? Because we're seeking the validation of a man. We didn't get it from our fathers. Our stepfathers, our brothers, our cousins, our uncles molested us. So we never had the validation of a man unless it was sexual. So now we're caught up in this perpetual cycle that seems to not end. But we have to come into the knowledge of God, the knowledge of self, in order for us to rise up out of this condition. And for every woman who does not take responsibility, you are throwing your daughters to the wolves. And that's
yes,
all I
ma'am.
Wanted to say. Thank you, Brother Dave.
No, thank you, Queen Aziza, because that, to say it's a mouthful is insufficient, but that's a wonderful word of advice and guidance. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. Lanita said, how can we be exalted over man when we are now the target of destruction? We have no one to protect us. If she said, I've watched women in the Middle East beaten and abused publicly, and now I see it here. We have a right to work, a right to vote, to protest, but not to be protected from abusive relationships nor those who abduct us for profit. Okay, Brother James.
Well, the first thing I want to say is I hope that she didn't misunderstand when I was reading the minister's words in reference to the woman being really being in advance over the man, it doesn't mean she's exalted over the man. We're not advocating the exaltation of women over men, nor of men over women. But an advance means it furthers the man. It's a furtherance of the man, a progression. Okay, now can you just reread that again, please? It was a lot in the question. Can you reread it for me?
Well, first said, how be exhausted over the man. Then she says, well, we are now the target of destruction, and we have no one to protect us. Then she says, I've watched women in the Middle East beaten and abused publicly, and now I see it here. We have a right to work, a right to vote, a right to protest, but not to be protected from abusive relationships nor those who abduct us for profit.
Excellent question. And I could respond very briefly. You have to be a part of a movement, dear sister, that has that and offers that kind of protection of you and of women. You're absolutely right. By and large, women are out there as prey. There's no question about it. She doesn't necessarily get proper protection in the courts of law. She doesn't get proper protection in the church or other religious institutions. She doesn't get proper representation and protection in civil and social organizations. I agree with you. In politics, the same. But there is an exemplary movement that offers this kind of protection for the women. It's called the Nation of Islam. Not that we are perfect, but we are exemplary. By and large, when you look at how our women are taught to dress and are required to dress, how our women are exalted to positions or raised to positions of leadership, in the Nation of Islam, how they speak in mosques, in our mosques and study groups, how they teach, how they preach. So you're absolutely right, but dear sister, this is Satan's world. And let me say this, when I say dear sister, you know, it could be construed that I'm referring to black women. But in my conversational expression, when I say sister, since I'm used to talking like that, I'm really talking about all women. I want to make that qualification. Doesn't matter whether you're black, white, red, yellow, or brown. I'm talking about all women now. You need to be a part of that protecting group or protective group. You say, well, if I'm a white woman, how can I join the Nation of Islam? I understand there aren't white members. There are many white followers who at the stage of our development are not necessarily a part of our regular meetings. They do attend our national holidays or celebrations or observations such as Savior's Day and the Day of Atonement. But the Nation of Islam is a principle. The principles that are taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, where the protection, exaltation, and resurrection of our women are concerned, are principles that transcend religious lines, transcend racial and ethnic lines. These are principles that are universal. But seek out a group like that. Seek out a community like that, as you make a good point, an excellent point. But I want to encourage you, seek out a group like that. And if it's the Nation of Islam, then come to the Nation of Islam. Be a part of the class. Learn about it. Make an intelligent decision. Where do you want to be? This is not you. I'm not saying this is you. But oftentimes, our women cry out for what you are bringing attention to. Like the woman that says, I can't find a good man. Well, where are you looking? I go to the club. I go to the bar. You keep looking in the places where the good men rarely exist. So you've got the pick of that litter. You've got to come out of that realm to say that the Nation of Islam is exemplary. Exemplary. So check us out. This is not to the abasement or disrespect of churches. But on that note, I want to say if there are any pastors, preachers from the churches that are online, I want to ask you, appeal to you, tell your women congregants to lower the hem of their garment. Sometimes I go to church, and the way those sisters, the way the women are dressed in church, my God, I don't even know how the preacher preaches. With all these fine women sitting up in front of him with their legs crossed and their thighs showing. And blouses cut so low, as the minister says often, he said if a baby passed by, they start crying because they think it's feeding time. So we have to change that. I'm not being disrespectful, but you have to change that, Red. If Mary, the mother of Jesus, and you say, Holy Mary, mother of God, then you're not wrong. But if suppose she rolled in the church and saw how the women were dressing, do you think that she would put her stamp of approval on a mini dress? Or a low-cut blouse or a braless outfit? Do you think she put a stamp of approval? How did Mary dress? Since she's the example? Now, come on, Rev. Do you want a church of Marys? Or do you want a church of Jezebels? Which one you want? Posing the question, not being disrespectful. So my dear woman, my sister, who has asked that question. You make a good point. But I would say to you, seek out a group that offers that kind of protection for the woman, the protection that you expressly seek. And if you can't find one, I can point you to an exemplary group, the Nation of Islam, under the leadership and guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. And, oh, Allah. Okay. Legitimate question, Brother Queen,
James. Excuse me, Queen.
Yes.
Well, what's up with these participants on the phone?
I don't know.
I don't want to hear. Say that again.
I said it's just sitting there. I don't know. Let's see. Okay. 5604, you got a comment. If you don't have a comment, just give us a greeting.
That's okay. I just love to hear their voices. And what you must understand, dear listening audience, is that we're sharing what we have been taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I guess it's, in a way, it is teaching, but we're not the teachers. We learn from you. We learn from your comments. We learn from your questions. We learn and are inspired by your vocal participation. I just wanted to say that.
I'm trying to.
Well, okay, let's see if we can get Brother Dean to talk to us. Brother Dean?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, dear brother?
Oh, by the grace of Allah, I'm doing just great. I was sitting back just absorbing it and just thinking in my heart how blessed we are to the listeners that's on this line, how blessed we are to get this information and gain this knowledge. But the question is, we get it, what are we going to do with it? As I listened to the sister that called in and made her comment about she sees sisters in the Middle East being beaten, and, you know, I don't want to really call her out, but, you know, I would just like to say, where is she getting that from? Yes, it happens in the Middle East, but the enemy puts it up there to really, because in the Middle East, you know, it's predominantly Muslims, so the enemy puts it on the television so you can get have a second thought about Islam. Their whole aim and idea is to destroy Islam in the minds of the people because they know something that you fail to come to realize. But, you know, as listening to it, and listening to the Brother James, and it's always a blessing to hear from you, brother, and Sister Queen, what I'm hearing is a description of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm listening, I'm hearing on a description of the people of Noah. And the scripture says, as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and the people of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So I just strongly believe that, you know, this is what I feel, that Allah is angry at our rebellion. And when Jesus returned, he ain't coming back talking about let's sit down and talk. He coming back with a sword dripping with blood. He coming to execute power upon the wicked and those who uphold his world. So I just want to, you know, let the listening audience know, and especially women, you know, it's, and Sister Queen, you were saying that, you know, you can't blame it on the men. Well, in some sense, I agree. In some sense, I disagree. I think it's, you know, a man has a lot to play in that. We have got to become men. And God, that's what he comes to do, to make a man, a new man. In the mind, we have got to become better men for our women and our families. But, you know, listen to the description and of the condition of our people, which is just a transitory life. You know, the word transit is in that word. We're just going through a transit. But, man, we've been having a brother among us for over 55 years.
That's right.
And we have not heard him. We listen to him. He's not here for entertainment. And I just wanted to say that the listening order, we're so blessed to have this, to be on this line. And I don't believe there's any coincidence in Islam. And we're so blessed to be on this line and get this information. But once this dialogue is over, what are we going to do tomorrow?
Good question.
That's
dear brother.
The question we have to ask. What are we going to do? Are we going to strive? I mean, I don't know how many are on this line, but I imagine it's quite a few. I mean, let's just say it's 100 or 200. But if we reshape our minds and they say we can't do it overnight, but with this kind of knowledge, man, you can change quickly the mind.
That's right. That's
just
right.
Just think about the impact that we'll have on others. You women that's on this line, if you stand up and demand what you rightfully do, then that changed the heart and the mind of that man who's trying to get after you.
Mm-hmm.
Makes him think. Put something on his mind. Make him think. And maybe he'll come to the realization of who he is. It may take you women to you know, just the man to understand who he is and take a second look in the mirror at himself. And don't bow down to that foolishness. No, you ain't getting this. You can't have it, you know? Are you willing to marry me? We have to set standards. If you look at all the precious jewels that's in the world that they mine from the earth, when they go into the earth to get those precious jewels out, it don't become a standard of value to the dross that is on it. It's taken
mm-hmm.
away, then it becomes a standard of value, a value. And that's what we're doing. We have to remove away from all these things that we have become attached to and these ways that are not our ways. Get rid of them and then become a standard of value who is who you are by nature. So if we got 100 or 200 people on this line, I mean, if you just change your mind and stand on principle and not compromise your principle, man, got to rethink their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope that we take advantage of these, you know, conversations. It's Friday night. There's so many things that we can be doing on a Friday night. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting, you know, in Oklahoma, watch the sunset and just thinking. But I hope and pray that it don't come to the shock of the hour. And I encourage many of you who, if you never listened to that minister give that lecture, go and watch that lecture. It's called The Shock of the Hour.
Yeah.
And he said it's a grievous thing. He said when they see it, so I encourage you to go and watch that DVD, The Shock of the Hour, because sometimes I think, is that what it's going to take? Wise up? As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Dean.
Thank you,
all praises to Allah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, that was inspiring. Let's keep rolling. We got about a half hour left.
Well, we have a question from Ken. Ken wants to know, how can women expect respect while they look like whores twerking and doing public sex acts? Oh, Allah. Okay. Go ahead, Brother James.
Well, those that engage in that kind of activity are not looking for respect. They may be looking for acceptance. They may be looking for notoriety, attention, you know, but they're definitely not looking for respect. Many of our young girls who are engaged in that kind of behavior are ignorant. And they need to be taught, retaught, and retrained. When my profession, before I retired from the secular world, that is, never retired from the work and mission of the resurrection of the dead until death do us part. But I was a property manager for public housing, and I managed several housing complexes, very, very poor and very, very the ghetto. Let me just put it just like that. But what I saw and witnessed and experienced was how these young girls were all but completely untrained to take care of home, to keep house, to sew, cook, and clean. They were completely, all but completely untrained. We had to set up a class that would train them, teach them. I love that work. Not to digress, but I loved it, you know, because they all accused me of running the projects like a moth, which I did. I definitely did. My captain, who was Brother Stanley, Sister Aziza, he was my captain, and he also was the head of security for the project complex, one of them. And they did a magnificent interview with him. I have it on tape. And the residents were testifying as to how the community was being cleaned up, changed, and made safer as a result of Brother Stanley and his work. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But it takes training. It takes teaching. And the scripture says, how can they know except they have a teacher? And how can they have a teacher except he be sent? And that sent one is he who we represent, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But those young girls, and even if they're a bit older, they need teaching, they need training. And it's true, you know, that a woman has to take some responsibility, as Queen Aziza has shared with us. I just want to go to a statement that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made regarding that situation. He said, there's no such thing as a no good woman. Every no good woman was made no good by a no good man. So we have to take a lot of the weight, because if we were righteous men, righteous acting and living men, then we would not cater to that standard, that expression. And the sisters would see that there's not a market for this, but there's such a huge market and demand for it. But I would say, you know, again, they're not looking necessarily for respect. They may be looking for friendship, acceptance, and attention, notoriety or such, but they're really not looking for respect. They need to be taught. If you know any, dear questioner, send them to the nearest mosque or study group. Thank you.
Well, Brother James, I just got to say something.
Oh, I'm shocked. I expected you would have to say something, sis.
I just want to reiterate very clearly what you just said. Because we're talking about women, he says, you know, they're dressing like whores and they're twerking and they're doing public sex acts. Well, who are they doing it on?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Who are they doing it with? So as much as we're talking about in the empowerment of women, then as the woman gets better, the expectation is that the man gets better. But it does not change the natural order of things. Men are the maintainers of women. So outside of the personal relationship, you know, you can't just care about a woman because she's your woman. You know, what happened to basic humanity? What happened to brotherhood and sisterhood? What's wrong with taking a sister aside and say, hey, sis, let me pull your coat. You're a beautiful sister,
you
but
go.
You look so more
That's
prettier
it.
With a dress on.
You
know, are you head cover or whatever? What is wrong with being a brother? Just being a stand-up man. You so damn selfish that the only thing you want to think about is your woman. But the scripture says that men are the maintainers of women, not your woman, all women.
Mm-hmm.
So you men in the community, you have to stand up and be the maintainers of these women. You need to put the fear of God of anybody coming into our community, abusing women and raping our daughters and abusing our children and snatching our children. That's your job.
Come on, sis. Come on.
So as much as we have a responsibility, you have it first, because God gave man the dominion over the earth. So when are you going to take your role? And if we are supposed to submit to the God in you, then you have to rise up from the abyss and become the God that we can submit to.
That's right.
That is the reason why the women are running rampant.
Yeah, there ain't no men.
Because if you preach in the church that's not teaching on God, you are upholding homosexuality and everything contrary to God, and you're sitting up there lying on the other side of it, talking about you trying to save their soul. How you going to save somebody when you promote my homosexuality? That a law of himself condemned.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it both ways. You can't serve two masters. You can't appease the homosexual and then try to say, I'm offering you salvation. No, you're not. You sold out to the devil. You sold out to Satan when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why there's a disconnect between a respectable or a virtuous woman and God. Because for those of us who are in leadership, that we're supposed to be the teachers, the educators, the leaders of our people, when you lead the people astray, what the hell do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
But chickens come back home to roost. And now we're not concerned until it's on our doorstep. We're not concerned until it's our daughter on YouTube. We're not concerned until it's our daughter that's involved in sex trafficking. We're not concerned until it's one of our boys that's being snatched up and being raped by some pedophile. See, we're not concerned until it gets to our doorstep.
Go ahead.
Well, then the way that you protect your doorstep is that you protect your block. You protect your block by protecting your community. You protect your
that's
community
right.
by protecting your city, black man.
That's right.
So for every man that calls a woman a whore, I call you a whore maker.
Mm. Come on.
And neither one of them have favor with God.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Okay,
you know,
wait a minute. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
That was right on point. Thank you for your impassioned addition to what we were saying. But my God, that was beautiful and much needed. I wanted also to read the minister's words relating to that expressed concern. He writes, in this article, A Reformed World Starts with a Reformed Woman. He writes, in the United States, which is one of the most advanced societies presently on earth, women are looked upon as playthings. So it is with Europe, where the woman is also looked upon as a plaything. In an advanced society, women are looked upon as playthings. How advanced then can that society be? And in many parts of the Islamic world, although we may pay lip service to the great liberation effort of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, men relegate women to a less than human position in society, or no role at all. And in many cultures, women are definitely oppressed. How advanced can this world be if the leaders of the world have denigrated the position of women? And if those so-called primitive societies have not elevated that woman, then the nations of the world are depressed, oppressed, and suppressed. And the greatest of oppression and suppression is the kind of fermented that is fermented by ignorance. Those are the minister's words. All praises be to Allah. Okay, we got about 15 more minutes. Go ahead, Queen.
Okay, area code 323, you have a question or a comment?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Queen.
Yes, ma'am and brothers. I'm going to take you guys here. Now, in the case of young girls are being abused, molested at a young age. Now, going back to I am my brother's keeper, you got some two sons, you know, that are grown up. They're raised up, and they become men. Then they become fathers. They have daughters, okay? So in the case that the uncles are molesting the daughter, their nieces, you know, and you go to different functions years after, you know, after, let me put it to you, years later, you know, you go to these functions, and it's like you looking over it, like at that movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer, but in actuality, you know, can you pass me the keys? No, I can pass you some truth. Can you pass me the truth? Can you keep it real? You know, how do you, you know, over the years of going through experience and stuff like that, sisters are psychologically damaged from that because you don't really, you know, you don't want to really tell anyone about what goes on or what has happened to you in fear of, you know, a lot of different things. But then, you know, because, well, nobody's going to believe you. So you keep this inside. And this goes on a lot. And, you know, the family just moves on and everybody, you know, just it's like everything is hunky-dory, fine and dandy. And it's like, you know, how do you psychologically deal with that in a family, but yet go back to I am my brother's keeper? It's like I look at myself as being a mother. I am a mother, and I have sons, and I'm not seeing this on their life, but for my boys to have grown up and in a situation like that, you know, the grandmother, the mother, how would you feel about your child doing something like that to one of your grandchildren or to, you know, or to your daughter? How do you live in a family like that? I mean, is it the family's curse, that person's curse? I mean, do you want, that's, it's hard to live. How do you get over that?
Come on, sister.
You understand? Because, but I want to say this, because I know the world is listening, that there are other sisters that have been in similar situations, if not that situation. I know Islam has saved my life. And I want to speak on that scripture, 1 John 4:4, and I want to paraphrase. I don't want to quite exactly quote everything because I don't know it exactly by heart, but it's something like, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And had not I been, my eyes not been washed by the Christ and the knowledge of myself in Islam and listening to the leader, you know, women like myself would not be able to overcome and sit amongst family and sit amongst individuals that have wronged sisters, you know what I'm saying, and be able to still say, Assalamu alaikum, or I love you, even though they've not came back and admitted or, you know, admitted or apologized to you for what they have done. So I just want to say that, you know, Muhammad, he still does live. I believe in the true and living God. And it is possible, and Sister Queen, you were talking about how a sister has to learn the value of who she is. And a lot of times it's really hard for a sister to grasp that concept of, you know, why she should change and the value of why she should change. And my testimony is this, is that, yes, ma'am, my testimony is that it took me to have to go through a lot of negative things to understand that, you know, I don't have to continue to believe the lie. You know, oh, you're ugly. Oh, you're not beautiful. Oh, you'll never become this. I bought that lie, and I sold it to a lot of people myself, you know. Mm-hmm. But going through a lot of situations on the near brink of death, Allah has spared my life, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I know that Allah has spared my life and has given me another chance, and I believe that I am saved by the grace of Allah's mercy, and he has a purpose for my life. And I just wanted to share part of my testimony to let the sisters out there know that if they're going through it, through the abuse, through, you know, rape, molestation, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, but you must believe that there is a God and understand who God is, and God lives within self, and especially if you black. We are the original man, so that we can overcome and do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's
come on, sick.
And, you know, so come on, somebody. I understand it's hard, but you know what? Like the leader said, you know, pain is struggle. Pain is, what does he say? Love is pain, or love is struggle, or something to that degree he said. And I don't want to quite exactly quote it if I'm not saying it correct, but it's just, I just want to kind of maybe like a little clear, clean slate of how, you know, you can kind of deal with the residue of that without letting certain things flare up.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Queen,
for those
that don't, you know, right.
I just want to say to the sister, yes, that is happening so much within the black community. But I want you listening audience, for those out there that's probably experienced that, sisters, you know, the minister has taught that's happening a lot within the black community. I know of two cases that has hit home within the last 30 days. And I talked to one of my sisters that were just out here on the road with me, and she, you know, felt comfortable with me to share what had happened to her daughter, and she had to go to St. Louis and go to court. But what I want you all to reference is a lecture that the minister did in 1993, Savior's Day, was done in California, and the title of it was Healing the Wounds.
Yeah.
And
yes,
he
sir.
Said all human beings a wounded soul, and he described what is a wound. You know, irritation, sting, torment, damage. He said every human being is a wounded soul. And he asked the question, he said, what is healing? Healing is pretty much atoning with your wound, atoning with those who have inflicted a wound upon you. And he said, in order to have a healing, you have to have a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked the question, who is the doctor and where is the medicine? But those sisters and brothers out there that experienced that, I encourage you to seek Dianetics and auditing. And that's
yeah.
my first encouragement is Dianetics and auditing. And because what happens is when that happens to younger women and men, and it's hidden, and it comes out as life goes on. It comes out, and it can affect your whole life. But, you know, that's something that has become the norm within the black community, child molestation and child abuse and things like that. So I just wanted to recommend, you know, go and watch the leader give a lecture on wounds and how to heal those wounds. But I strongly suggest, you know, Dianetics and getting involved and become auditing. I mean, the Nation of Islam, you know, not by name, but, you know, Islam as a whole has got so much to offer our people. If our people would just grasp onto it, and what the brother was saying about how can the sisters be respected when they're out there twerking, but we've got to learn not to be afraid of our people and not feel to be afraid to of who we're going to offend when we speak in the truth. And we got to just learn to strike conversations with our people, because the enemy knows that we are moral and righteous people. He knows mm-hmm. it. But what we have to do from this day forward, we have to put the Spirit of God in our people and let them know what the chastisement and the punishment is going to be from not no spook God. And put the fear of God in them. And I think that will help them start to think. When you start telling them what Allah is going to do to them if they continue and not come up out of this world, and let's not be afraid of who we're going to offend. You know, sisters out there twerking and all that, strike a conversation with them. Do you know why you're able to twerk as good as you are? It's a part of our culture. Go back, crump dancing. You know, crump dancing was pretty big. But the ones that was out here crump dancing, they don't even know that's a part of your African culture. So those who like basketball, I mean, there's many ways that we can strike conversation and things that people love to do that is not of right. But we can turn it into it becoming a righteousness, just getting them to understand their talents, their gifts, and why they're able to twerk like that, why they're able to dance like that. And
when the string get tangled up? Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm pretty much done, Sister Queen, but we've just got to strike conversations and the foolishness that our people love to do and turn it into a positive. Going into their nature, you know, or why they twerk so good, why they shoot that ball so good, you know? Just going to the nature of who they are, why they're the best in that, you know? And not be afraid of which person we're going to offend, but we have to put the fear of God in them. But healing the wounds, I definitely suggest the listening audience that has been, you know, experienced something like that to definitely go and research that lecture. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
And
thank you
for being. And, you know, I want to invite anyone. You don't have to be a female. If you have issues where there has been sexual abuse, you can remain anonymous if you want to. You can call in and listen. But we do mm-hmm. have a conference call every Wednesday pertaining
right.
to that subject. So anybody who wants to participate, I'm going to give you the number, and if for some reason you're in a place where you can't write the number down, look me up on Facebook at Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and I will inbox you the information. But that number is area code 605-562-3000. And the PIN code is 207-412. Again, the PIN code is 207-412. We actually begin 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Central Time. Anybody is welcome to call in to share anything that you may want to share as it relates to anything, really. But basically, we do talk about those horrors of sexual abuse. And we have some beautiful brothers and sisters on that line. Sister Minister James participates on that line. We have several brothers that participate on that line, and it's of all mm-hmm. faith persuasion. So we want to encourage you to come and get information that could be vital for you to move on past the horror, past the pain, past the hurt, into the healing and the developing into a better person. So please,
that's
anybody
beautiful.
Who needs help, you can refer people to, you know,
right.
if you know someone. So that's it, Brother James. Thank you.
Thank you, Queen. And it is a wonderful, I have to also bear witness, it's a wonderful line to express hurt, but also to get some guidance as to how to handle it. And again, it transcends ethnicity, faith expression, religious title, race, gender. I mean, it's a very beautiful and healing, encouraging line and conference. So I hope you will take advantage of being on it this Wednesday. When is it again, Sister Aziza? Can you just announce how to access it once again?
Yes, to access the group, it's really called, the group is called SOC, which means Survivors of Crisis, and we're on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. The phone number is area code 605-562-3000, and the PIN code is 207-412. Again, it's area code 605-562-3000. And that PIN code is 207-412. We begin at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So anyone is welcome to call in. It's, of course, voluntary. You can remain anonymous or you can introduce yourself. We pray that, you know, not only are we healing, but we are also bonding. And we're also learning to respect one another's different cultures and beliefs. And so this is how we build a nation, by including everybody towards the one common goal, and that is to be well mentally, physically, and to be aligned with God. So I pray that any of us who are hurting and suffering out there, which is most of us, so I'm inviting you to that line. And Brother James, I also wanted to thank Ariel's Baked Fresh Goods, Nation's Brand Bread, for sponsoring us as well. Brother Ariel out of Houston, Texas, my dear brother, has been a chef for a very long time, and he's the new sponsor for Nation Building Network. So thank you, Brother Ariel. So if you are looking for baked goods, he makes the best cookies, the best bread you ever want to taste. Sometimes you don't need them. You're talking about man can't live off of bread and water. You eat some of Brother Ariel's bread. That's all you want is some bread and water. So look him up on Facebook. I have to get another number for him. But look him up under Ariel's Baked Fresh, Nation's Chef, either one. And definitely put your orders in for some good wholesome bread. Whole wheat flour is used. None of that imitation stuff. So I had to do that for Brother Ariel.
All praise is due to Allah. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Queen.
I have a comment, Brother James, from Reverend William Carter. Reverend William Carter is a preacher out of Houston. And I don't know if he's talking to you or I, but he says, why are we